Morning, church. Morning. Now, we in the pastoral team, we have decided that before we proceed to our new sermon series in the book of Ecclesiastes, we've decided to take a short break from our book studies for a while and instead focus on the subject matter of faith, no? We recognize that we're living in different times right now. Life is not what it used to be 10 years ago. It's not even what it used to be 5 or 3 years ago, right? With the Iran war happening, the inflation rate skyrocketing, and you add to that the very unstable and crazy political situation in our country right now, life is getting harder, right? Life is difficult. Now, according to surveys, a huge number of Filipinos are anxious right now about the instability of our nation, and rightfully so, because if you look at the news, there's really nothing to be excited about, right? It seems like one bad news is followed by even badder news, so to say, no? So things are getting worse as the day goes by. Now, according to nationwide surveys, a huge number of Filipinos are highly anxious about these four things right now. Number one, financial situation. 53% of Filipinos cite money and the rising cost of basic goods as their biggest source of anxiety. So they worry on how they can continue to feed their family or how they could be able to continually put roof over their heads. And they also worry on how they will be able to send their kids to school. And the second is health issues. 42% report experiencing high stress regarding their personal health with the rising cost of medical treatment, and some of them don't have access to it, no? And some of these people, guys, they have sickness that are incurable diseases. And third is work or school performance. 39% feel the pressure to perform well in their jobs or in their studies. And a large number of these people, they're afraid, they're very insecure because they could lose their job at any given time. And some of the students, they also worry if their parents would still be able to send them to school. So there's that work and school performance. And lastly, family situations. 38% are stressed by family-related responsibilities or concerns. You have the in-law problems, the cheating spouse, the rebellious child, unfit father or unfit mother, or someone in the family is sick, or so on or so forth. Now, guys, these are the four life challenges that tops the surveys among Filipinos today. But I'm sure there are other countless situations that's breaking lives, breaking hearts, and breaking families as we speak right now, okay? Now, 19 years ago, I came across a teaching from 2 Chronicles chapter 20 by a pastor who helped me grow in my Christian faith. And the principles of this passage tremendously bless and help me as I face challenges and trials over the years. And my prayer and desire that you would also be blessed and be encouraged as I share these principles to you this morning, okay? Now, our passage is taken from 2 Chronicles, and we'll be reading chapter 20, verses 1 to 23. And because of the length, it's a lengthy passage, and this is already my third sermon preaching. And it's going to be a lengthy sermon, by the way. So for those of you who just joined us today, you can come back next week. Our sermons are usually not this long, okay? So okay na balik next week. So I asked Pastor Kirk to read the passage for us because I need to conserve my voice, no? So Pastor Kirk, can we all stand as we read God's Word?
The Word of the Lord, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. After this, the Moabites and Ammonites, and with them, some of the Maonites came against Jehoshaphat for battle. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, "A great multitude is coming against you from Edom, from beyond the sea, and behold, they are in Hazazon Tamar, that is in En-Gedi." Then Jehoshaphat was afraid and set his face to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord. From all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, "O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. In your hand are power and might, so that none is able to withstand you. Did you not, our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? And they have lived in it, and have built for you in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this house and before you, for your name is in this house, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And now behold, the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came from the land of Egypt, and whom they avoided and did not destroy. Behold, they reward us by coming to drive us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. Oh, our God, will you not execute judgment on them? For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Meanwhile, all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, son of Jael, son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. Verse 15, and he said, listen, all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz. You will find them at the end of the valley, east of the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Stand firm, hold your position, and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, and the Lord will be with you. Then Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites and the Kohathites and the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. Verse 20, and they rose early in the morning, went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God and you will be established. Believe his prophets and you will succeed. And when he had taken counsel with the people, he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy attire as they went before the army and say, give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever. And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir who had come against Judah, so that they were routed. Verse 23, for the men of Ammon and Moab rose against the inhabitants of Seir, devoting them to destruction. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they all helped to destroy one another. Praise be to God.
Thanks, Kirk. Let's pray. Father, as we come before your presence today, we humble our hearts before you, Lord, and ask, Father, in the name of Jesus, that may you speak to us, O Lord. Holy Spirit, we humbly ask of thee, Lord, that you allow your words, O God, to be preached with anointing, with power and clarity, Lord. And more than anything, our only desire is that the name of Jesus be exalted in our midst, O God, in whose precious name we pray. Amen. 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 You may be seated, guys. Okay. Now, church, the story goes that King Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah They were faced with a life-threatening situation. Now, the Bible tells us that three powerful nations bonded together with one objective in mind, and that is to defeat Jehoshaphat and totally annihilate the people of Judah. Now, guys, I want you to understand Jehoshaphat's situation. If he decides to fight back, his army is greatly outnumbered. If they fight, they will only lose, and all of them will surely die. And on the other hand, if Jehoshaphat decides to run and evacuate, he also has no place to go because the enemy was coming from all corners. And it was also geographically impossible for them to hide because of the mountainous terrain in their area. So what I'm saying is this, Jehoshaphat was in an impossible situation. He was in a life and death situation where there was no solution in sight. And what made matters worse was that he found out about the attack a little too late, because in verse 2, it says there that the enemies were already marching in En-Gedi, meaning to say the enemies were already closing in. So Jehoshaphat's situation quickly turned from bad to worse. Now guys, some of you here, you might be able to relate with King Jehoshaphat. Maybe as you come here this morning, you're also facing an impossible situation of your own. Maybe you're going through financial crisis right now. Or maybe you're going through health crisis. Or maybe you're in a relationship problem that no matter how hard you try to fix this relationship, nothing seems to work out. Or maybe you are here today wanting to break free from your sinful habits. You want to be set free from pornography. You want to be set free from drug addiction, so on and so forth. Again, maybe like Jehoshaphat, you are facing an impossible situation today. Now, brothers and sisters, I don't know what you're facing right now, or I don't know what you're going to be facing in the future. But what I know is this. The same God that gave Jehoshaphat breakthrough and deliverance, the same God who gave Jehoshaphat victory, is the same God whom we're worshiping today. Amen? The same God who delivered triumph to Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah is the same God whom we're talking about right now. What I'm saying is this, church. The same God who gave Jehoshaphat victory is also the same God that could give you that victory. Amen? Now, very quickly, I want us to look at what King Jehoshaphat says here in verse 12. And let's underscore what he says here in verse 12. He says here, O our God, will you not execute judgment on them? For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Now here in verse 12, Jehoshaphat admitted before the Lord, Lord, I've already exhausted all means. I've think this through, Lord. We've already done everything. But you know what, Lord? Everything seems to be impossible. Nothing, Lord. We don't see any solution. So in humility, Jehoshaphat comes before God and tells God, Lord, we don't know what to do. But after that, Jehoshaphat then says the wisest thing. He says, Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are fixed on you. Now, church, I've entitled today's sermon, What to Do When You Don't Know What to Do. And this morning, let's learn from Jehoshaphat on what we need to do when we face difficult and impossible situations. Let's allow the timeless principles of this passage to teach us on what we need to do when we face difficult circumstances in life. Okay? So what to do when you don't know what to do? Let's get right to it. Number one, when you don't know what to do, set your heart to seek the Lord. Okay? Number one, set your heart to seek the Lord. Here in verse 3, it says here, that Jehoshaphat was afraid, and he set his face to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord. From all cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Now here in verse 4, we can read that King Jehoshaphat and the whole kingdom of Judah, they fasted as they seek God together. Now church, I want you to understand that one of the highest form of expression in seeking God is through fasting. Now say it with me, fasting. You sound like you're fasting. Say it louder, fasting. Okay? Now, too often, modern-day believers neglect this sacred practice. But yet, it was a regular thing among God's people during the Old and New Testament. Today, believers do the exact opposite. When life is difficult, when life is hard, instead of fasting, some Christians do stress eating, no? And I'm guilty of that as well. But brothers and sisters, you've got to learn how to fast. I mean, you don't have to do it as Jesus did it, fasting 40 days and 40 nights. But if you can do it, well, praise God, do it. But what I'm saying, you can simply begin by skipping a meal. Now, instead of eating, you go to your room and just spend time with God in prayer. Instead of having your lunch, instead of having your dinner, why don't you instead open your Bibles and meditate on God's promises? Now, so often believers think that fasting is only for pastors and super spirituals. It's not. Fasting is for everyone. Now, you have to understand that the very essence of fasting is humbling oneself before the Lord. It's telling God, Lord, I'm in desperate need of you, Lord. Lord, I need you more than these physical things, Lord. Lord, I want you. I want more and more of you in my life. Again, church, in fasting, it's humility before the Lord. That's the very essence of it. Now, if you don't eat just because you want to lose weight, let me tell you, that's not fasting, okay? That's dieting. Fasting is letting go of carnal food in exchange for spiritual act of worship. Now, Jeremiah 29 verse 13, the Lord promised, "You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." Now, brothers and sisters, as you fast, this should be the attitude of your heart, where you just want more of Jesus. You just want to surrender everything to the Lord, a full-hearted surrender to God. When you come before the Lord in fasting, this should be your attitude. You want more and more and more of Him. So, brothers and sisters, you've got to learn how to fast. You've got to learn how to fast. Now, another way of setting your heart into seeking God is by praying together, okay? Now, in James chapter 5, verse 16, the church is clearly instructed and commanded by God to pray for one another. We're supposed to pray for each other. But sadly, just like fasting, the modern-day church has neglected this precious spiritual discipline. But yet, it was a common practice among the people of God in the Old Testament. It was especially common in the New Testament. Now, brothers and sisters, I don't know about you, but I love being prayed for. I love being prayed for. That's why I join our Friday prayer meetings. That's why I message my prayer requests to the different prayer chat groups of our church. Because I know I serve a prayer-answering God. Amen? We serve a prayer-answering God. Now, how many of you here believe with me that God answers prayer? Raise your hands. How many of you here believes that God answers impossible prayers? Amen? Now, guys, again, I love being prayed for. And I also love to pray for people. Because I know that we serve a prayer-answering God. Now, guys, 3 years ago, whilst coming to church for our Friday prayer meeting, while I was there kind of sa stairs from the parking area, I received a call from a dear friend. And when I answered that call, he told me, "Joe, pray for Brandon right now. You know, he collapsed at home, and he's now unresponsive, and he's being rushed to the ER right now." For those of you who don't know who Brandon is one of our deacons here in church. Our deacon who looks like Dieter Ocampo, no? Tutukin na ninyo, di ba? Magawas lang kalit si Dieter. Anyway, as I received that call, my heart was pounding. I was so scared. Because the night before that, Brandon was already brought to the ER because of an abnormally high blood pressure. But eventually, he was sent home by the doctor, no? Thinking that it's gonna be okay. So guys, when I received that call, kuyawan kay ko. I was thinking, bam, kuyawan niyo, basin madayunan na niya kong iksuon karon. And you know, we're close like flesh and blood. So after I got that call, when I came up to the sanctuary, the people were about to pray, I just told them, this is what had happened. You guys pray for Brandon. I grabbed my wife, Michelle. Then we rushed to the hospital. When we arrived at the ER, I saw Brandon being carried by Dr. Israel. He was there. Together with the hospital staff, no, nagbitay ang kamot, nagbitay ang tiil. And That's where it hit me. I was thinking, could I lose my brother tonight? It was a scary time. Well, he was in the hospital bed. Brent was also there, Brandon's eldest son. We were talking to the doctor. So Brent asked the doctor, "Doc, what's the worst case scenario?" The doctor came to us up front and told us bluntly, "You know what? We could lose the patient. That's the worst case scenario." So the following day, we visited Brandon in the ICU. There were tubes attached to him. His head had bandaged. And I remember a time that I had to hold back my tears as much as I could. Melody was there. She asked my wife, Michelle, "Shall unsaho naman ni kung mawala si Brandon?" I mean, I had to hold back my tears, guys. How can you answer that kind of question, di ba? Masa ka pwede magpataka o tubag. No, during the time, Brandon had premesophelic non-aneurysmal hemorrhage. In layman's term, there were blood clots in his brain. So, you know, that was caused by severe high blood. So the doctors explained to us that the rule of thumb in these cases is 1/3, 1/3, 1/3. Meaning to say, 1/3 of the patients don't make it and pass away. 1/3 may live, but they will have severe incapacities. Maybe a vegetable or something like that. And only 1/3 make it out alive. So guys, for the next 4 to 5 weeks, Brandon was in the ICU. And it was a roller coaster 5 weeks, especially for the C family. There were times that Brandon will have sudden deteriorations. And emergency protocols had to be done. There were times that we received text messages from Melody and we have to rush to the hospital because Brandon's condition deteriorated. Now, church, during those times, we made a prayer brigade for Brandon. Churchmates prayed for Brandon. We prayed for him during our prayer meetings, during the services, during pastoral prayer. We prayed for him. And different people from different churches prayed for Brandon. And what, guys, the silver lining of that was this. In spite of that scary and ugly situation, you can just see the love of the Father being expressed to different brothers and sisters earnestly praying for Brandon during that time. Now, guys, that was almost 3 years ago. The doctor said 1/3, 1/3, 1/3. But let me tell you, Brandon is one of one. Because not only did he fully recover and came out of that dark valley stronger and better, but he came out of that situation more passionate, more in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you want to clap, give the Lord a clap of praise. Now again, church, our God is a prayer-answering God. Our God is a God who hears and answers impossible prayers. But sadly, some Christians, they keep silent when they go through crisis. They shy away from asking people to pray for them. Ay na lang, oy, hadlok ta, libakon niya ta, or sawayon niya ta. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you, you're not designed to carry the burden on your own. You belong to the body of Christ. We need each other. And I can guarantee you, dili gyud na libakiro si Pastor TJ, di sa gyud ko libakiro. We won't libak you when you ask for prayers. Now guys, you have to understand, if you don't ask the church to pray for you, because you choose to carry the burden on your own, that's actually pride. Ay, mauwaw ko kay unsa pa lang ilang ikasulti. Now, let me tell you, brothers and sisters, choose humility over pride. Now, you have to understand the very essence of this first point. As you fast, you are humbling yourself before God. As you ask the church for prayers, you are also humbling yourself before God. So, guys, number one, if you don't know what to do, set your heart to seek God by fasting and praying for one another, okay? Now, what to do when you don't know what to do? Number two, pray and preach the word of God to yourself. Pray and preach the word of God to yourself. I'll be reading verse 69 in NLT. It says here, Jehoshaphat prayed, "O Lord, God of our ancestors, you alone are the God who is in heaven. You are the ruler of all kingdoms of the earth. You are powerful and mighty. No one can stand against you. O our God, did you not drive out those who live in this land when your people Israel arrived? And did you not give this land forever to the descendants of your friend Abraham? Your people settled here and built this temple to honor your name. They said, whenever we are faced with any calamity, such as war, plague, or famine, we can come to stand in your presence before this temple where your name is honored. We can cry out to you to save us, and you will hear us and rescue us." Now here in verse 69, King Jehoshaphat stood before the assembly and prayed aloud the promises of God in front of all the people. Now, what King Jehoshaphat is doing here, other than praying God's word back to God, Jehoshaphat was also reminding himself of the promises of God. What he's doing here, he was also actually preaching to himself. Now, church, the word faith is one of the most misused word in the world today. And some Christians are even guilty of abusing or misrepresenting this word. Now, faith is often misunderstood as positive thinking or positive attitude. For example, if somebody takes an exam, you'll tell that person, sige lang, have faith lang, makapasar na lang ka sa imuhang test. Or if somebody starts out into a new venture where they're opening a new business or starting a new career, you'll tell that person, sige lang, have faith lang, kaya raligin na nimo mga challenges. Or if someone is so batignaw, nanguyab, o guwapa kayo, mong rabis universe, you tell that person, sige lang, sugton na lika anang bayhana. You know what, guys? You see, more often than not, faith is associated with positive thinking or possessing a positive attitude. But you must understand that this is the world's definition of faith. True biblical faith, Christ-honoring faith, is found in Romans 10 verse 17, which says, faith comes from hearing, and by hearing, the word of God. So this means your faith should be based on what God said in His word. Faith is not about positive thinking. Faith is not about having a positive attitude. Faith is trusting what God has promised in His word. So this should be the basis of your faith. Now, here in verse 6 to 9, King Jehoshaphat exercised his faith by reminding himself of the promises of God. As he prayed the promises of God, he was also reminded of these great promises himself. Now, church, you've got to learn how to preach the word of God to yourself. Because sometime in your life, you will surely need it. Now, church, I'm 45 years young. Now, I know I look like 55 years old sometimes because I'm HIV positive, no? Hair is vanishing positive, no? And maybe sometimes because of my belly. I look like 55 sometimes, but I'm just 45 years old. But you know what, guys? I've already been operated twice. Once in 2013 for cancer, and another one back in 2020 when they removed my gallbladder. So you see, part of me, ni una na sa langit, part of my kidney is already in heaven, part of my gallbladder is already in heaven. So I hope dili mo una kong ulo dito, no? Anyway, for those of you nga nakasuway nag-iopera, you know the procedure, right? The hospital staff goes to your room, they transfer you into another hospital bed, and then they wheel you in to the operating theater, to the operating room. Well, guys, as you lie on that bed, facing the ceiling, no, as you're being wheeled in, those bright fluorescent light passes you by, daghan kayo. A million thoughts could pass through your mind. Things that would cause you to become so anxious. And during that time, I was thinking, usao na mani, what if I don't make it? What if I don't wake up after that procedure? What if I could die on that operating table? Or worse, what if in the middle of the surgery, makamata ko, sa babaya na lang kong doctor, no? Things like those can come to your mind and it will make you scared. Now, church, during those times when I was anxious, I just began to preach the promises of God to myself. I was thinking, there is now no more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. My God is for me and not against me. I was also thinking, what if I do not make it out alive? Then I reminded myself of the promises of Jesus Christ. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my words and believes Him has sent me has crossed from death to life. He does not come into condemnation, but has eternal life. So I just reminded myself with the promises of God. And what, guys, as I did those things, as I preached the word of God to myself, God's peace just covered me. All fears were gone. Uncertainty was replaced with assurance. Anxiety died down. It was replaced with so much joy, knowing that my Heavenly Father was in charge. Now, guys, there was a time I was laying on that bed about to be wheeled into the operating room. And there, I was just filled with so much joy that I had to ask myself, "Injection na ba ako ng morphine, no?" Because there was just so peace and calm and joy that I couldn't explain. So as I wheeled in, fear went away. Now, guys, remember this. The Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. The Word of God is your weapon against the lies of the enemy. The Word of God is your weapon against anxiety. The Word of God is your offensive weapon against anything that life throws at you. So, brothers and sisters, you've got to learn to preach the Word of God to yourself, okay? So, what to do when you don't know what to do? Number two, pray and preach the Word of God to yourself. Now, number three, what do you do? Focus on the Savior and not the problem, all right? Now, here in verse 12, King Jehoshaphat says, O our God, will you not execute judgment on them? For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Now, here in verse 12, we see that Jehoshaphat acknowledges the problem, right? He tells God, Lord, we know that this is a vast enemy. We know this is a multitude of enemy. We know they're strong, and we know they're coming against us. Lord, we know they're already near us. We are powerless, Lord, but our eyes are on you. Now listen, Jehoshaphat acknowledges the problem. He knows that the problem exists. But yet Jehoshaphat says, Lord, we will not focus on the problem, but we will focus on you. Now, Dr. Charles Stanley, one of the well-known theologians in our era, he said, you will magnify the things that you focus on. So if you focus on your problem instead of God, eventually your problem will become so big that it will swallow you up. And the moment this happens, you will lose your joy. You will lose your peace. And eventually, it will affect the way you behave. It will affect the way you relate with other people. You know, focusing on your problem can actually damage your life and your relationships. Because you will always magnify what you focus on. Now, from the story of Peter, when Peter walked on water, remember that? Now, Peter did a miraculous thing for a time. When Jesus asked Peter to step out of the boat and walk on water, for a while, Peter was really able to do the impossible. He was able to do what defies gravity and what defies the law of nature. Why? Because Peter focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Bible tells us the moment Peter took off his focus on the Lord and looked at the wave instead, what happened? The Word of God tells us that the waves ate him up, right? Now, what's true for Peter can also be true for us. The moment we go through difficult seasons in life, the moment we take our eyes off the Lord and focus on the problem instead, our problems can eat us up. Now, back in 2007, while I was still with my former church, together with Brother Bill and my wife Michelle, and Brandon and Yuri, I think, now we were serving in the Young Professionals back then. Now, during that time, we planned to organize an evangelistic event. You know, we were targeting young professionals and business people to join that evangelistic crusade. And the plan was simple. Invite a well-respected evangelist and book a decent venue and pray and hope that people would come to hear the gospel during the crusade. So me, together with our peers in the Young Pro, we began to do the legwork. We invited the speaker, praise God, the speaker confirmed, we booked his ticket, we booked the venue, and we started to do the legwork. And if my memory serves me right, we were targeting to invite around 200 professionals and business people. 200 packs amo ang plano during that time. Then in the middle of the preparation, something unexpected came out of nowhere. The church leadership abruptly wanted to cancel the event. So we were surprised, no? So I asked the church during that time, kung ano man, why would you want us to cancel this event? It's such a noble event. We want to lead people to the Lord. You know what, guys? I received the lamest answer. They told me, you know what? You have to cancel the event because the speaker you invited is charismatic and he prays in tongues. By the way, I came from a very, very dogmatic cessationist church. That's why I'm no longer there, no? Anyway, that's besides the point. Now, I tried to reason with them. Bro, he's not going to preach about theology or doctrine. He's just going to share his testimony on how the Lord changed his life. And then after that, he's going to share the gospel to those who will be joining. He's not going to, you know, ruffle feathers about these theological things. He's just going to share the gospel. But to make the long story short, the church says no with finality. So when the church said no, some of the volunteers who were so enthusiastic at first for the event, they began to back out. But as for me, Michelle and Bill and a few of us, the conviction of the Lord was just too strong to ignore. No, there was a clear impartation that we need to proceed with the event, that we need to organize this event. But yet, we were facing a big problem during that time. The church withdrawn their support. That's a problem, right? Some volunteers stopped serving. That's another problem, right? But most of all, back then, there was a huge bill to pay. The logistics, the venue, and everything else. And back then, wa pa biya may mga buot. Wa ganin may buot karon sa butang sa una, no? Back then, wa pa may mga buot. We were just starting out. And there was a huge bill to pay. But you know what? Instead of focusing on the problem, we chose to focus on the mandate of the Lord Jesus Christ. The issue actually came to a point where nasuko sila nako. No, there was even one deacon who commented nga angay kuno koy pa drug test kay laom kuno kay kog ay bugs basi wa pa kuno ko maayo. Those were below the belt comments, but no, instead of looking at those things, instead of entertaining those things, we chose to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now guys, as we prayed and seek the Lord, you know what? Although our former church turned their back on us, the Lord caused other churches to partner and support us. We just don't know how it came to be. We remember all of a sudden City Church was involved. I was not with Living Word during that time, but Living Word got involved. Brother Mel supported the event so much. And if I'm not mistaken, Maranatha was also there. And countless other local churches, they began to see the vision and took part of that work. And it was a beautiful sight where the church of God, no, we don't talk about theology, we don't talk about denomination, but we just want to work together so that people will be pointed to the cross of Jesus. Now guys, because of the support that poured in, initially we were only planning for 200 people event. It became if my memory serves right, it became a 500 people event. We maxed out the venue. And, you know, at the end of the event, praise God, so many people responded to the challenge, surrendering their lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. But church, what made it special was this. One of those people who gave their life to Christ as that night was my own father. He gave his life to Christ. Hallelujah. If you want to clap, give the Lord a big clap, church. So focus on Jesus instead of the problem. Focus on the Lord instead of the issues, because you will always magnify the things that you focus on. So if you don't know what to do, just focus on your Savior, okay? What next? What to do when you don't know what to do? Number four, wait expectantly on the Holy Spirit. And I would like to underscore the words expectantly, okay? Wait expectantly upon the Holy Spirit. Now here in verse 14, the Bible says, as the people of Judah gathered to seek the Lord, in verse 14, it says there, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel. Now when the Spirit of God came upon Jehaziel, he began to prophesy and gave King Jehoshaphat instructions on what needs to be done. Now let's read verse 15 and 17. It says here, Jehaziel said, listen, all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz. You will find them at the end of the valley, east of the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight this battle. Stand firm. Hold your position and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them and the Lord will be with you. Now church, when the Spirit of God came upon Jehaziel, Jehaziel gave them very clear instructions on what they need to do. And nothing could be more specific. It was Jehizael through the Spirit of God, tomorrow go down against them at the ascent of this. There's the place. Tomorrow go down in the valley of the east of wilderness. It was a very clear and specific instruction from the Holy Spirit. Now, brothers and sisters, what's true for them in the past still holds true for you and me today. If the Holy Spirit was able to give them clear instructions then, He is still the same Holy Spirit that is able to instruct you on what you need to do when you go through difficult seasons in life. But you need to wait expectantly upon the Holy Spirit. Because the sad truth in the church today is this: the Holy Spirit has been reduced into a mere theology. Yes, the church knows that He exists. Yes, the church knows what His role is in the Trinity. Yes, the church knows about all the dogmas and the doctrines about the Holy Spirit. But irony of ironies, so many Christians today miss the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, brothers and sisters, you have to understand that the Holy Spirit is not someone you study. The Holy Spirit is someone you need to know. You have to understand, guys, that the Holy Spirit is the one who convicts your heart when you sin against God. He is the very power that energizes your Christian witness. He is the presence of God when you long for God's embrace. Now think about this. The Lord Jesus said to His disciples, "I will not leave you as orphans, but I will send to you an advocate. I will send to you a helper." Now guys, get this. When the Lord Jesus Christ was with His disciples, the Lord Jesus was their teacher, right? The Word of God also teaches us that the Holy Spirit teaches us all truth. Now, when Jesus was here on earth, the Word of God tells us that the Lord Jesus protected and defended His disciples, right? Well, the Word of God also tells us that the Holy Spirit is our comforter. The Holy Spirit is our advocate. And the point is this: what Jesus was to His disciples when He was physically here on earth is who the Holy Spirit is to all believers today. He is our advocate. He is our helper. Now guys, when we started the work here in Living Word IT Park, there was a time that I was really burnt out. When we started the work here, we were only a handful of volunteers. Now, back then, there was no rostering in the music ministry because that was all of us, no? Balik-balik, every week, maoragipon worship leader, balik-balik, maoragipon worship. Gipulan na lang ang mga tao sa among naong, but we have no choice. Those were the only volunteers, no? So this went on for weeks, for months, for years. And eventually, you know, ang kakakapoy caught up with me. Now, on top of my ministerial responsibilities, Bible studies in Tuesdays and other ministerial responsibilities, I also needed to attend to my young family back then. And I was just starting out in business. So, medyo hectic akong life during that time ba. Now, one Saturday afternoon, I was assigned to lead the praise and worship during that time. I left the office early and went home to prepare for my exhortation. As I was preparing for my exhortation, I just snapped. I crashed, no? I was thinking, Lord, I just came from a very, you know, hectic week. I came from the office where everything seems not to go right. And I come home, I need to do this. But Lord, kaapoy na kay ko, Lord. So I shut the computer off and I just went to the room and I just poured out my heart to God. I remember I was kneeling in front of the window. I was just raising my hands and telling God, Lord, I did not sign up for this. Lord, I'm so tired, Lord. I'm so tired. But Lord, you know, Lord, I want to honor you. Lord, you know I want to serve you, Lord. But I'm just so tired already. As I was pouring my heart to God, well, church, all of a sudden, as if someone stood beside me. I was kneeling during that time with my hands raised. And that presence just brought so much peace. That presence just brought so much assurance. That presence just tells me that I am greatly loved. And the next thing I knew, I was prostrated to the ground. My forehead was touching the floor. My toes was touching the floor. My hands was like this. And I was just bawling and crying like a baby because the presence of the Lord was just so sweet. Now, during that time, guys, there were no impressions, no impartations, no word of knowledge. It was just the manifest presence of the Lord's. No word of knowledge, no revelation, But let me tell you, His presence was more than enough to refresh me. Was more than enough to refresh me. After that encounter, I got up. I came to the church, led the praise and worship with so much passion and fire. And it sustained me for the remaining times as I served in church. Now guys, you have to understand, this is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He is not just a mere theology or doctrine. He is the very power that energizes your Christian life. Now in 2008, when Michelle and I, when we lost our export business, we prayed and prayed and prayed and asked the Lord, Lord, we lost our bread and butter. Lord, we lost our sense of income. And I remember this vividly. I was praying. I was telling God, Lord, you know I'm a college dropout. Lord, you know that I don't know anything about business. All I know, Lord, is about cars. You know what, guys? As I've said that, there was this almost audible voice that just hit me and said, then use that. Use what you know about cars to feed your family. Use what you know about cars to earn an income. Now, guys, the rest of His is history. And I believe that was the Holy Spirit leading us. Now, in 2013, when I had my bout with cancer, the Holy Spirit was the one who clearly made me understand that this was all part of God's plan for my life and ministry. When I read the scriptures during that time, as if the word of God from the Bible would just leap out from the pages and speak directly to my heart. Now, as I was driving, I felt so down, I felt so anxious. All of a sudden, there was that familiar presence once again that brought so much peace, that brought so much assurance, that let me know that I am dearly loved by God. Now, guys, this is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. When you don't know what to do, expectantly wait upon the Holy Spirit. As you set your heart to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, expectantly wait on the Holy Spirit. But church, I have to caution you on this. You have to remember that He is the Holy Spirit. He is not the unholy Spirit. So unholy things and the Holy Spirit can never go together. So if you continue to live in that sinful lifestyle, if you continue to embrace that cherished sin in your heart, don't ever expect to have a close relationship with the Holy Spirit, because He is the Holy Spirit. So guys, if you continue to live in sin, don't expect to have a close relationship with Him. And at the same time, don't expect to have an intimate and close relationship with the Holy Spirit if you continue to ignore Him in your life. The Word of God tells us, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Okay? So guys, the Holy Spirit is not someone we study. He's someone we need to know. So that's number four. Expectantly wait upon the Holy Spirit. Now, what to do when you don't know what to do? Number five, continue to walk in obedience. Continue to walk in obedience. Now, here in verse 20, it says here, and they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Believe His prophets, and you will succeed. Now, church, get this. After Jehaziel gave a powerful prophecy to Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah, as supernatural as that was, as miraculous as it was, get this. When Jehaziel gave that prophecy, their enemies did not drop dead. Their enemies did not vanish in thin air. The threat was not eliminated. The problem still existed. Now guys, no doubt, God spoke His word through Jehaziel. But you know what? God's word did not change their situation. It did not change their situation. When God spoke His word, nothing happened. Now, I like what Pastor Edmond Chan always says. He always says, the word of God doesn't change life. It's the word of God applied that changes life. Now, guys, the Word of God can do nothing for you unless you obey the Word of God, unless you act on the Word of God. Now, here in verse 20, we can read that King Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah acted upon the instructions of the Lord. Now, by faith, they marched into the desert of Tekoa. Now, guys, get this. The enemy was still there. The vast multitude that wants to annihilate them still existed. But yet, by faith, in obedience, They obeyed the word of God in spite of the fact that there was a clear and present danger. Now, church, you have to understand that Christianity is an in spite of thing. In spite of your situation, you continue to serve God. In spite of your situation, you continue to obey God. Now, you have to understand that Christianity is a race of obedience until the end. You don't stop obeying God in the middle of the Christian race. And you especially don't stop obeying God in the middle of a crisis. Now, King David gives us a very beautiful illustration in Psalm 23. He says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." Right? Now, what do you do when you walk through dark valleys? You don't stop in the middle, right? You continue walking until you reach the end of the valley, until you cross the other side. And it's also true for us. The moment we go through dark valley experiences, the moment we go through difficult seasons in life, we don't stop in the middle. We don't all of a sudden say, "Lord, di na ko nimo mo, stop na ko." But you keep on keeping on. You continue to obey the Lord because Christianity is an in spite of faith. Now, 3 or 4 years ago, our sister Des had a severe spinal condition. Now, her symptoms started out as a tingling sensation in her arm. So initially, Des, and by the way, she's the wife of our deacon, Yuri, initially they just dismiss it, and Des continues to do what she does best, making one of the best cakes in Cebu, no? Tilawin yun yung cake, okay? Now, at the same time, while she does those things, she served faithfully in our music team. At the same time, she also served as a regular prayer warrior in our Friday prayer meetings, no? Di gina sila ma-absent ni Yuri. But over time, her condition worsened. There was a time where Des had to wear a neck brace just for her to do basic chores. And as time went on, her situation deteriorated and it became bad to worse. It reached to a point where she had difficulty walking. She literally had to drag the right side of her body just for her to walk. By just raising her right arm, it was already very tedious for her. Okay, murag nawag tangan og kusog yung right arm ba. Now, it was a dark and difficult season for Yuri and Des. But church, in spite of her situation, every Friday, for as long as her schedule permits her, Sister Desiree is here for our prayer meetings, worshiping the Lord, praying for the church, praying for you guys in spite of her condition. And if she is rostered for the music team that week, in spite of her situation, she drags herself to church and prays and worship the Lord in front of us when she is being rostered. Now, church, Christianity is an in spite of faith. You don't stop serving the Lord in the middle of a crisis. You don't stop obeying the Lord as you go through dark valleys. Now, praise God, Des had her operation 2 years ago and she had recovered ever since. But the point is this, you have to keep on keeping on. You have to continuously love the Lord. You have to continuously obey the Lord. No? And in His own appointed time, I'm sure you will reach the other side of the valley. Okay? Now, last point, what to do when you don't know what to do. Number 6, make praise and worship your lifestyle. Make praise and worship your lifestyle. Let's read the remaining verses. It says here in verse 22 to 23, "When they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against the man of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, so they were routed. For the man of Ammon, Moab, rose against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, devoting them to destruction. And when they had made an end to the inhabitants of Mount Seir, they all helped to destroy one another." Now, brothers and sisters, the story ends with a very decisive victory for Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah. Their enemies all eliminated. Why? Because the Lord moved in their behalf. The Word of God tells us that the enemies of Judah turned on each other. The Lord caused confusion and rage within their camps that they ended up destroying one another. So when Jehoshaphat and his army reached the battleground, all they saw were piles of corpses, all their enemies completely destroyed and totally defeated. Why? Because God moved in their behalf. Now, church, the Bible says it happened when the people of Judah began to praise and worship God. When the people of Judah began to praise and worship God, mighty miracle took place. Now, guys, I want you to learn this principle today, and I want you to have faith as you hear it this morning. Brothers and sisters, I want you to know that there is power when you praise and worship God. There is power when you praise and worship God. Let me explain to you. Praise and worship is a deep expression of faith. And faith causes the supernatural to operate in the natural. Now, let me give you an example. The Bible tells us that the moment we surrender our lives to Christ in faith, what happens? The moment you give your life to Christ in faith, the supernatural being of the Holy Spirit then dwells in the natural being of man. So faith causes the supernatural to operate in the natural. You get the picture? Now, another sample I can give you is in Acts chapter 16, verse 25. Verse 15 to 16. This was a story when Paul and Silas was thrown into prison because they were proclaiming the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says at around midnight, when Paul and Silas began to pray and praise and worship the Lord, the Word of God tells us that there was such a violent earthquake that took place that prison doors were opened and shackles opened and loose because a mighty miracle had took place. Now, guys, there is power when you praise and worship the Lord, because praise and worship is a deep expression of confidence, is a deep expression of faith towards God. And when faith is exercised, the supernatural can be manifested in the natural. What I'm saying is this, brothers and sisters. Miracles are real. Miracles can happen. Our God is a miracle-working God. Amen? If you believe that, say a louder amen. Amen. Our God is a miracle-working God. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. As you express your praise to Him in faith, things in the spiritual realm starts to move. And in His own appointed time, that will be manifested in the natural realm. However, I want to caution you on this, guys. You have to be very careful that your praise and worship is sincere. The Lord Jesus says, "These people worship me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Make sure when you worship the Lord, your heart is right before God. Now, Michelle and I were firm believers of God's supernatural interventions. We've experienced it time and time again. In regards to this context, I've shared this before. I'm going to share it again. Anything worth sharing is worth sharing the second time or the fourth time, right? So during the time when Michelle was admitted to the hospital, for weeks during the time, the doctors were puzzled kung unsa gyud iyang case. And there was even a time nga naglalis iyang doctor in front of us. What do you do when the doctors don't even know what they're doing? No? So we're left without a choice. We ran out of words to pray. Kay pila na guto ka weeks, sige mag-pray, and what my development? In those times, church, we just raise our hands to God and just worship God for who He is and just adore Him and praise Him and glorify Him. And when we do those things, the peace that transcends all human understanding just guards our heart and mind. Supernatural peace that comes from the Lord. And all fears are gone. All anxieties were taken away. So brothers and sisters, make praise and worship your lifestyle. Make praise and worship your lifestyle, because as you express your faith, you'll never know what God is working in the supernatural and His appointed time. It will bring your deliverance. It will bring your breakthrough. It will bring your victory. Amen? If you believe that, say amen. 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 Let's give the Lord a clap of praise, church. So guys, there you have it. What to do when you don't know what to do. Number one, set your heart to seek God in fasting and praying for one another. Number two, preach the Word of God to yourself, because the Word of God is a sword of the Spirit. Number three, focus on the Savior and not the problem, because whatever you focus on, it will be magnified in your life. Number four, wait expectantly upon the Holy Spirit, because He is the very person that energizes your Christian life. Number five, continue to walk in obedience, because the Christian life is an in spite of faith. And number six, make praise and worship your lifestyle, because our God deserves all the praise. Amen? Let's give the Lord a bigger clap of praise than that, church. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father.